want to be on the inside?
We've got you covered.
It's the Finsiders. Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims, who made 3 Pro Bowls during his time with the Dolphins. But sadly, fans still don't remember what number he wore.
Matt, uniform number. You got 2 seconds. Keith Sims.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, Keith. I'm sorry. 20?
No.
I am more offended than you are.
Rounding out the crew, it's Troy Drayton. Always ready if the team gives him a call.
I've been preparing myself to be a right tackle.
And he's prepared well.
Man, can't wait to have your head spinning.
Please.
Also, in the comment center, it's Tristan Jones. Ready whenever Jesse goes her way. Or at least attempts to go her way.
Let's go to the Metro PCS comment center. Get in another question or two.
Tongue twister. Question or two with Tristan. Say that 3 times fast.
Hey, what time is it?
It's the Finsiders.
Welcome to the show. Thursday, November 7th, 2013. Troy Drayden's here. Keith Sims is here. Gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
You sure you good?
Yeah, man. We're hanging in. It's been a different kind of week around the Miami Dolphins, and obviously it's been a lot of non-football stuff. Here is my pledge today, okay, because I know that the fans who listen to this show, especially the ones who listen and tune in regularly day in and day out, whether it's in the live chat at Dolphins.com, whether it's in their cars on 940 Wins or WBZT, or whether it's on Fox Sports Florida, our brand spanking new, bright and shiny television home, I know that the folks who tune in and day out, they're hardcore Dolphin fans, yes. And they've got to be very sick of this. They want to hear football, and they want to talk about Monday night's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So here is my pledge. We will do more football talk today. We will not do all football talk. It's not possible. I'm sorry it isn't. Because there's just more and more happening with this whole Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito situation. And we can't hide from that. And we've got to address every twist and turn and sort of update you and try and decipher what we do or do not know. Mostly do not. But we will do some more football talk today. There is more football stuff to get into, and that's what we've got coming up. Here's what else we've got coming up. Cam Wake is going to join us in studio. So we'll do Martin, we'll do Incognito, but we'll also go one-on-one with the defensive player of the week in the AFC, one Cam Wake. He'll come into the studio. We'll talk to him a lot about football. A lot about football. You got that to look forward to coming up next segment. We'll also take you inside the Dolphin locker room. We'll hear from some of these guys who spoke so passionately yesterday in defense of themselves. Ryan Tannehill, Brian Hartline, Paul Soliai. We've got that coming up for you as well. Plus your text messages at 347-347, your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS, and as mentioned, questions with Tristan in the Metro PCS comment center.
You know, these guys have been, a fair share of them have been wanting to do more football talk, and so since, you know, they ask, they will receive, which means, though, that they need to come up with some good questions.
Ooh, because I see what you're saying.
Right.
It's a two-way street.
It absolutely is. So if they want to do football talk, they have to ask good football questions.
The gauntlet has been thrown down. The challenge has been issued. Troy, you spent a fair share of time in that comment center. How do you think the folks in there will respond?
You know, it's kind of hit or miss with those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Punter.
I mean, I
more
I
miss,
them,
but go ahead.
It's like hit or miss. So we'll play it by ear, Jeff.
Trash is trash.
Oh,
we'll play
boy.
It by. We'll play it by ear.
Was that you saying that, or was that a recording?
That was a recording.
Okay, so it wasn't you. let's start here. And you know what? We're talking about the football talk and the non-football talk. Let's marry the two, because you can't forget that this is all of it a football issue, mm-hmm. football culture issue, but also a football game issue, because the Dolphins coming up, 4 days from now, will be taking on the Buccaneers over at Raymond James Stadium. After listening to the players yesterday, after listening to the players today, I got to say this. This truly, to me, does not sound like a team divided or a team cracked or anything like that. Now, we'll see what happens on Monday night. I'm not going to sit here and predict anything when it comes to that game. But right now, I have zero concern with this team, you know, being broken apart by all of this drama. You listen to these guys. Mm-hmm. You hear from these guys. And so from a football standpoint, now look, whatever's going to happen is going to happen involving this investigation and everything afterwards. But these guys, they don't sound like they're being splintered apart by any stretch of the imagination.
This is a very difficult situation for Coach Philbin to navigate. But the thing about us as players, we were taught a long time ago to try – I use that word, try to ignore the distractions. He's able to, and I'm very glad for Coach Philbin and for the players in the locker room that this is a road football game, because he's going to be preaching every single day, more time than ever in your career, guys, It is us against the world. It is the 53 guys in this locker room. Nobody else believes in us. Everybody's looking to tear us down. Everybody's looking to divide us. Do not let them happen. Let that happen. The best thing you can do is focus on what you do for a living, and that's playing football. Go out there and let's play the best game that we have all season long. Kick off the second half of the season, and let's get them talking about the Miami Dolphin football team on the field rather than the Miami Dolphin football team in the locker room or off the field, Troy.
I think it is a tough situation to navigate, number one. But these type of situations do one of two things. They either tear your team apart or they bring your team closer together. And I'm going to take a wait-and-see type of approach. When I look at Coach Philbin and I look at his mentality and all the things that he's dealing with, his comfort, his solace is out on that football field. That's where he gets his solitude. And to me, I think that's where the guys actually get their solitude. I think they dread walking into the locker room now because they know what the talk is going to be about. So I think when you're on the field, you're 100% concentrating on your job at hand, what you're supposed to do. And I think that's exactly what these guys are doing. I think when they step across that white line, they're football players and they're concentrating on being beaten in Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But when they get in that locker room, it's a totally different atmosphere. It's something that they don't want to talk about, that they ultimately have to talk about. But you have to narrow this team's focus. You kind of have to take a bunker mentality and take the mentality like it's us against the world. And if you could take that into the game and into the rest of the season, I think this Miami Dolphin team will be a tough bunch to beat.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, you've heard that speech. I've heard that speech before over the course of our career. Didn't matter who the head coach was. They always use that. If there was any kind of off-the-field distraction or adversity that the team was facing or one individual player was facing, it was really that whole 53 against the world. And I got to tell you, folks, it tends to work. You know, I heard Brian Hartline speak today. I don't know if I have a clip about it. How, because people were wondering, are they unfocused? Well, going out on that practice field, that's a sanctuary for them. Reporters are only there for a few minutes, and they get to be and do what they want to do on a daily basis. They get to go out there and play this game that they love. They get to not hear about what's going on. They don't have to worry about Jonathan Martin. They don't have to worry about Richie Incognito. All they have to worry about is the 53 guys out there right now trying to prepare to win a football game on Monday Night Football. And if you don't think that preparation's on their mind, they recognize this could be, at least for the family and the friends and the people that are interested in this story, one of the most watched Monday Night Football games ever for Miami Dolphins. Whether you love them or hate them, you're going to watch, and I think there's a lot of people are going to be intrigued to see how this team comes out and plays. Is this a distraction, or can they put it all aside and become the ultimate team, unite so strong that nothing could pull this team apart and go out there and blow the doors off Tampa Bay?
I also think this is part of being mentally tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, this encompasses everything that you learn throughout sports, all the lessons that you learn throughout sports. Cut out the distractions. Be mentally tough. Have a singular focus. It's all about the team. These are all the things that you have to kind of take into consideration. So when you're talking about Coach Philbin, when you're talking about this coaching staff, when you're talking about those 53 men in the locker room, they have to go in one direction. Mm-hmm. And that one direction is Monday night football, we all need to band together and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We will hear from Brian Hartline a little bit later, some of what he had to say yesterday to the media. By now, everybody knows these guys, these players, the ones who spoke yesterday, defended themselves as a team passionately. They came out. They said, you know, we're not going to let this ruin us and all those kinds of things. And it was a very strong statement, I thought, by the guys that were in the locker room yesterday. Joe Philbin was asked about that today. He goes, hey, those comments stand on their own. He said, I don't need to comment on what they said. They said what they said. They're grown men. I'm paraphrasing Joe Philbin. And those comments all stand on their own. You know, there's been some question about, you know, whether the players were told they could say those things yesterday or had they been asked not to, and they did anyway. Today, Hartline said unequivocally that, you know, the coaches said, hey, stand up, say what you need to say, and do your thing, and that's what they did yesterday. And then today, a little bit of a semi-return to normalcy as the players kind of went away from addressing this situation head-on and went back, you know, more towards the, hey, look, there's an investigation, we'll see what happens, you know, and let's talk some football. So it was definitely a little bit more normal of a situation today than it had been in any of the previous days this week, though it wasn't normal. You've still got ESPN locked in here. You've got, you know, ABC, Good Morning America, all that kind of stuff. A lot of attention on this Miami Dolphin team right now, but it definitely seemed at least a little bit more normal today. Need cash for home repairs, college, or other unexpected bills? Flexible home equity loans and lines from Popular Community Bank could be the answer. Call 888-317-9062 to apply. We'll take a break when we come back. The best player on the Miami Dolphins, I'll continue to call him that, Cam Wake, the defensive end, is going to join us in studio when we come back. We'll talk to him about this and about football. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the Finsiders on a Thursday afternoon. We're getting closer and closer to Monday Night Football. Dolphins and the Buccaneers coming up. Second consecutive night game for the Miami Dolphins. And that Thursday one against the Bengals might seem like a while ago, but it really wasn't. Cam Wake was the star of that game. He is our guest now in studio. He's also the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Let's start with that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I imagine you get a sack and a safety to end a game. You're probably going to do pretty well when it comes to awards and recognitions, because not something that happens very often in the National Football League.
Oh, well, I didn't know that until, you know, kind of a little into this week. I actually think, you're about to correct me if I'm wrong, that's probably the first time it's ever happened. I think the other two, it was a fumble involved.
Yeah, there was a fumble recovered on a sack and a punt block, I think, that went out the back of the end zone. That might have been recovered too. So the first pure sack safety to end a game in NFL history. You'll always have that. You'll have a lot more than that, obviously, also. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. It's going pretty good so far. Pretty good week of practice, getting ready for another primetime game under the lights, which is always a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's obviously been a different kind of week. That might be a good word for it around here. Any concern on your part as a veteran guy who's been around, who's seen this, about focus, distractions? I mean, those are the words that keep being thrown out there by people.
Yeah, but the people who talk about that are, I guess, more on the outside looking in. Football is full of distractions. I mean, if it's, you know, something going on at home with, you know, you forgot to feed your dog, or, you know, it's raining, it's snowing, it's hot, you're tired, the crowd's screaming, you can't get a call, you're bleeding. I mean, those are all distractions. And the way football is set up is you have to eliminate all those things. It doesn't matter what's going on. You have a job, whether it's making a tackle, catching the ball, you have to get that job done. And day to day, you know, we eliminate those distractions, and we go out there and we execute our job. So we have nothing but professionals in the locker room, and I wouldn't expect anything but that.
Cam Wake is here. Whether it's this situation or other, can football at times, you think, for guys be an escape from the other stuff, whether it's something at home or, you know, something with family, that, hey, I'm actually out here on the field now and I can just kind of focus my energies on this?
I think a lot of guys can use it that way, you know. You know, once you cross those white lines, you know, all the other stuff, you know, a lot of outside stuff may kind of disappear. At the same time, you do have to take on some other new distractions, whether it's coach yelling at you or whatever it may be. But I think that's why I love playing this game. I could probably speak for most other guys, and I think that's why people like watching that game, because there is, you know, a certain level of distraction, a certain level of or type of guy that has to be able to do this and play this game. And you know, it's not for everybody, but you know, I love it.
Yeah, there you go. Cam Wake is here. Let's go back to the Cincinnati just for a couple of moments, because it was, as we said, a very fun ending, a sensational ending. Take us through the actual play. I think we saw you twist inside a little bit right there, and obviously third and long, those passing situations, guys that like to get to the quarterback, you kind of live for that, don't you?
That's why we play this game. You know, we in the defensive room, D-line room, we have the little saying where you got to work first before you can play. So as far as what we call work, you got to get your job done on first and second down, whether it's stopping the run or, you know, making, you know, basically putting them in third and long, so that now we can play, i.e., get into the quarterback, pin your ears back, and that's the money down. That's when guys love to get after it. I had a great call from Coach Coyle. You know, I had a lot of help from my Jared Odrick. I think Randy Starks also, who kind of maybe took two or opened up the hole so that I can get in there. I had to beat the center, and just by luck, he was down there and put him on the ground.
Probably more to it than luck, but I'll let you say that. You're larger than I am. They reviewed the play. It's a scoring play. They review all of those plays. Any doubt in your mind as they're reviewing it and you're waiting that it was a safety?
No. I knew, as soon as we landed on the ground and I could see in the grass, it was, colorful and pretty. And, in my mind, it was a sack. And, we just kind of had to wait the drama of the moment where they're reviewing the play. But it was a tough, long-fought game. Everybody had to chip in. I mean, there were guys making plays left and right. I just, had the opportunity to be in the position at the end of the game. But literally a team win from head to toe, offense, defense, special teams. It took everybody to make sure we got a W out of that one.
We're talking to the AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Cam Wake. That third quarter, I think the Dolphin offense didn't get out on the field until there was 2:03 left in the quarter. Obviously, the Brent Grimes pick six is a good thing, and you don't want to complain about it. But, I mean, have you ever been on a field that much in a quarter at any point in your life?
I think that game had 93 defensive plays, which probably is the most I've been a part of since I've been here. I'm not particularly sure, but that's a lot. On defense, that's your job, is to not be on the field. I mean, that's the whole point, is to maybe be on the field three plays and go sit down, and watch the offense march down the field. But again, by no means was that game perfect. We definitely are happy that we got the W, but there were things that we could have done better. There's things that we've been working on these past couple of days to make sure, this coming Monday, we get those things fixed so that, situations like that don't happen. So, again, every day, every week, we're just out there trying to improve so that, every game we go out there and we can play better.
Tampa Bay, let's talk about that coming up on Monday Night Football. Outside people, media fans, they look at the Buccaneers, they see 0-8. You guys look at the Buccaneers and you see a team that maybe could have, should have won in Seattle the other day, one of the toughest places to play, obviously, in the National Football League. They didn't end up winning, but they played a very good team, very tough, and this is not just a random 0-8 team right now. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, plenty of stuff, I'm sure, for you guys to look at.
Without a doubt. When we kind of getting ready for games, we're not looking at their record to say, oh, this is the type of game or this is the level that we have to meet. I mean, it's not like that. This is the NFL. Every player that's in this league is the best at what they do in the world. And like I said, any given Sunday, anything can happen. I mean, we've been in games where we kind of came down to the wire and maybe ended up on the short end with the short end of the stick. And by no means was that say that we're not a good team, sure, or whatever it may be. And like you said, they played that team tough. They're the game could have went either way. And at the end of the day, they didn't win. But they're not. It's not going to be one of those games where you just show up, throw your hat in the ring and say, "Up, let's get out of here with a W." It's going to be a hard-fought, tough game, and we have to go out there and put our best foot forward.
It is national TV. It's Monday Night Football. It's all the eyes. Not the first time, though, that you've seen these guys back in the preseason. And obviously, from a tape standpoint, everybody says it's not generally too much you can take out of a preseason game to apply to a regular season game. But down in the trenches, I was wondering, did you gauge, the way a move worked against a certain guy, anything like that on the offensive line?
Yeah, you can try to save a little bit from, we actually went back and watched some of the game from the preseason. Schemes and plays, sometimes, offensive coordinators are kind of trying to keep it vanilla so they can save stuff for the regular season. The defense, we're doing the same thing, just kind of playing base, because you just want to see guys get out there and play and kind of get after it without too much, scheming, because it's, it is preseason. But at the end of the day, pass rushing is pass rushing, catching the ball is catching the ball, running the ball is running the ball, and those fundamentals of defeating blocks and things like that are always, no matter whether it's what league, what game, preseason or Super Bowl, those things have to get done, and those are things you can kind of take from the preseason on through the season.
Makes a lot of sense. Cam Wake, the Defensive Player of the Week in the AFC, 3 sacks, including the game winner against Cincinnati the other day. You don't often get to say game-winning sack, but we were able to do that. Congrats again on that. Music to the ears of defensive players all over the globe. Thanks for coming in, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, get to some of your questions. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the Finsiders with Keith Sims, Troy Drayden. I'm Jesse Agler. Big thanks to Cam Wake for coming into the studio. Boy, there's just not a better guy to talk to, man. He is, he's the dude. He is the man. Kind of liked what he said, too. It was cool. And I guess it's something the defense says all the time. And who knows, maybe every defense says this. I just never heard it before. But we talked about wanting to get in those pass rush situations. Bless you, Keith.
Thank you.
In those defensive line guys, they want to get in those pass. He goes, you work on first and second down so you can play on third down. I love that. That is so perfectly put. And Keith, you're obviously on the other end of that, playing guard in your career. But that's exactly what those guys are trying to do. They're doing the dirty work on first and second down so that you're in third and eight, third and nine, whatever it is, and they can just go after the quarterback.
That's exactly why every offensive lineman says we've got to run the football early and often. We all know, because sacks are sexy. Sacks is what those get those big contracts. You get 10, 15, 12 sacks a year, you're going to be making a lot of money. Run stuffers are appreciated. The team loves them. But they're also known as unsung heroes most of the time around us. Like, look at Paul Soliai. Good player, great player, no pass rush, but he's great against the one. He allows Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon, and hopefully soon to be Geon Jordan, to get to that quarterback because he does the dirty work. And as an offensive lineman, you've got to run the football. You want to take away what they want to do. You want to take away their ability to know for sure that they can use their athleticism and speed and leverage against you without having to worry about the run. So that's why when the Dolphin offensive line was struggling, I had said with the sacks, I said the number one way to stop the sacks is run the football. You get them tired, you lean on them, you make them have to think, is it run or pass, and you don't allow them to pin their ears back and just come after you.
I think you're absolutely right, Keith. When it comes to, you know, just guys pinning their ears back, I think the most effective way to take some wind out of their sails is to run the football at them, because that's a lot of work trying to shed a guy, get your hands inside, throw him this way, throw him that way, throwing your body around, and you're naturally tired. You know, when you get into the third and fourth quarter, but that's how the longer runs start to happen. When you start to lean on those guys and you starting to just, you know, pound the ball down their throat, they don't get a chance to pin their ears back. So, especially for pass rushers, you know, it's just a tough thing. So, like Cameron Wake says, you know, this is what we want to do. We want to do all our work first and second down so we can play on third down. And naturally, that's a pass rusher mentality. But an offensive guy's mentality, you want to commit to the run so that you can lean on these guys and you can pound them into the ground and try to tire them out, because you don't want them to pin their ears back.
Look at us doing all this football talk, talking about pass rushing and pass protection and all that. Very impressive. 347-347 if you want to text in. 1-855-5-GO-FINS if you want to call in. We will obviously discuss Martin Incognito some more. In fact, next segment we'll go inside the Dolphin locker room and hear from some of the players. In the interim, let's hop over to the Metro PCS Comment Center. Tristan's been chatting with everybody at Dolphins.com. Get to a fan question before the break.
Okay, AK Finn Fan sends us a question, and he says, this is a good question, so to be determined by you guys. He says, with the loss of Brandon Gibson as the slot receiver, have you heard of Marcus Thigpen being used more in that role, or do you think we'll see him more there?
Well, you know, we've discussed it a lot since the injury, and, you know, I think there's a sense that it's a possibility because, as he mentioned, we have seen a lot of him in the slot during preseason and during training camp, but we didn't see it in the game the other night, and probably the Cincinnati game is your best indicator of what's to come, and we saw a lot of Rishard Matthews in that role. So for the time being, at least, that's what I expect kind of moving forward in that position.
Well, they've actually had a little bit more time to prepare or take the distractions aside than they did leading up to that Cincinnati game, have been at a Thursday night football game. It seems like that was almost a season ago when last time this team was on the field. So, you know, the coaches will adjust, and they want to give the teams, particularly in the second half, something different, something they haven't shown on film. So maybe they don't want to unveil it right away on Thursday night. I'm sure, depending on how Rishard Matthews does, depending on how the tight ends pick up the slack, whether it be Charles Clay or Michael Agnew or even Deion Sims in there, if they need more offense, this coaching staff will get creative and use the players at its disposal in different places.
I think one thing about it is we have the versatility. We're able to go big when we need it with Rishard Matthews, and we're able to go small, you know, with Thigpen and use that kind of a scat back Darren Sproles type of person. So I think it's an interesting mix, because You need both during the course of a football game. When you need those tough yards, you need that guy big enough to go across the middle and get those tough yards. But when you need those big plays and you need those mismatch situations, Thigpen is the perfect guy to get into open area and an open space. So I like to see more of that. I like to see him get, you know, some screen passes, and I like to see him in the slot and see what he can do, because I think when you get a guy like Marcus Thigpen into the second level, then I think – you know, that's a big play waiting to happen.
We saw a glimpse of it, you know, against the Saints. He got a pretty good look at what he was capable of. And I'm on board. You know, we're trying to see a little bit more out of Marcus Thigpen. I think the more weapons, the better. So why not give it a shot and see what can happen? Remember, everybody, you can now ride Tri-Rail to and from all Dolphin home games, avoid traffic, and save money on parking. Visit dolphins.com/Tri-Rail for details. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll go inside the Dolphin locker room. We will hear from Ryan Tannehill. We will hear from Brian Hartline, and we will hear from Paul Soliai. That is all coming up next, plus more of your questions. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the Finsiders. It's Thursday, and yet the hot topic right now amongst a lot of Dolphin fans and reporters is Wednesday. And why is that? Well, yesterday, the Dolphin players stood up for themselves in the locker room. They stuck up for themselves. Whatever word you want to use, they went out there and they bit back a little bit after, you know, the locker room had been attacked and that kind of thing from the outside. And today, Brian Hartline mentioned that, you know, Joe Philbin had given them that go-ahead. And that's kind of an interesting and neat piece of information here, because there have been some suggestions that people had said that Joe Philbin told the players not to talk, and they went ahead and did it anyway. And that doesn't seem to be the case. Brian Hartline, you know, said that the coach handled it. He did a phenomenal job. Those were Hartline's words, a phenomenal job. And that the players were told they could stick up for themselves, which they did. Today, everybody kind of returned to normal a little bit. But yesterday, they stuck up for themselves. They talked somewhat openly about everything that's been going on. So let's take you inside the locker room and hear some of what these players had to say yesterday. All of this was taking place during our show and after our show yesterday, which is why we're bringing it to you today. We'll start with Big Paul Soliai. He, of course, sees a lot of Richie Incognito in practice, especially during training camp. Here's what he said about the kind of teammate that Richie is.
He was good. He was a hard-working guy, coming out ready to work, funny guy. You know, he was always the guy that puts a smile on your face every morning. You know, if the day's going slow, he knows how to pick everything up, and then he was a leader.
There you go. He's a leader. And look, obviously, you know, I don't want this to come off that we're just providing the locker room side of this thing. There's still very much two sides to this story. We're just passing along what was said yesterday in the locker room, and the players did, as we said, spoke about this somewhat openly. Brian Hartline was asked about, you know, the now infamous voicemail message, which is almost seeming like it's a small part of a huge story now, even though it isn't, but it's almost gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit. Here's what Hartline said yesterday about that voicemail.
My point that I took from it, that one, if I'm not mistaken, this is the same guy that was laughing about this voicemail at one point in time, first of all. Second of all, I believe that, you know, if you go through the whole voicemail, it's like, oh, you know, there's some things said that you probably shouldn't say in general. Friends are not friends. But I know for a fact that I've said things to my friends that I kind of wish I never said to either. But with that being said, I never thought it was a death threat. I never thought he was actually going to do the things he said. And if you can't take validity from one part of the voicemail, how can you take validity from the whole part? You know, you can't pick and choose which parts count, which parts don't count. So in my mind, I think it was, again, someone I was taking advantage of.
There you go. That's Brian Hartline on the whole voicemail thing. And again, we haven't heard that. We've heard about it, a lot about it. You know, I'll say this on the other side of that. You know, you may be out there and you may be listening to Brian Hartline. You may be nodding your head and saying, yeah, exactly, exactly. The other side of that is you can't get inside of Jonathan Martin's head. None of us can. And we don't know what he was feeling and what he was thinking when he heard that voicemail. You know, and none of us can know that. But you are getting, you know, a little bit. Yesterday, you did the other side of the story, I guess.
You are, and I think as players, we have to be very careful. As human beings, we have to be very careful because, you know, Troy and I could be having a conversation and jawing back at each other, and I could say 10 things, and he's fine with 10, and then he gets to the 11th, and he's not. So when you pick and choose, it's, yeah, you look at the whole string of what is said, whether it be a text message or a phone message, but you could be okay with a lot of things, and then all of a sudden you say, you know what, that's it, you've crossed the line. So I want to be careful about this, but, you know, I'm just sitting here in this whole story, just trying to be compassionate to both Richie and be compassionate to Jonathan Martin. I want to make sure he is treated fairly. I want to make sure Richie, if he is innocent, then he needs to be completely exonerated from all of this stuff. I know he's got a tremendous, tremendous amount of support in that locker room. And rightfully so. Richie is a guy that you keep hearing other guys who played with him. Basically, you want a guy like that on your team. He's a hard worker. He's a guy that's an enforcer for your team. He's going to give you everything he's got. But at times, he goes overboard. And I guess that is what probably happened in this situation. It's just unfortunate. And I know the guys want to support Richie, but I wish I heard a little bit more support for Jonathan Martin as well.
Yeah.
He is their teammate as well. And because we don't know the facts, we don't know all the things, I think you got to be careful and say, hey, I support Richie 100%, but I'm still there for my teammate Jonathan Martin, whether he's going through something emotionally or mentally or whether he took it wrong. Until I know everything, then I'll make my decision.
The picking sides is a really, really tough thing for me, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know that we need to be jumping to sides. You know, I think there can be two wrong people, two right people, all that kind of stuff. I don't know that it's necessarily one or the other. All right, last cut here in this locker room blitz. Ryan Tannehill yesterday, when he was asked, would you have intervened if you would have known, you know, something was going on?
As being a leader on this team, you want to step in and help anybody who's dealing with something. If I had any idea that this was an issue, that he was struggling, of course, I would have constantly checked on him. How are you doing? You know, how are things going? Just making sure you're okay. You can never judge another man for what they're going through. Everyone deals with something different in life. And just to have no idea that this is even going on, it's tough for me because you can't help a situation that you didn't know existed, that no one on this team knew existed. We have a bunch of good guys in this locker room. And to be put in a situation where, you know, everyone's attacking the locker room saying, you know, it's such a bad place, such a bad culture, no leadership to stand up and stop the situation. No one knew there was a situation to be stopped. So it's really tough for us to sit here and hear all that when we have each other's backs. And I wouldn't have a problem stopping a situation if it was occurring. You know, Richie didn't use that type of language that was on the voicemail in the locker room, didn't talk to other guys that way in a derogatory way that was attacking.
You go, Ryan Tannehill yesterday, very strong stuff. And Troy, that's part of the complexity of this issue, is that you've got a locker room full of guys saying, we didn't know that Jonathan Martin was struggling the way that he says he's struggling.
I don't think that it would be a public thing. I think that, you know, most guys, you know, especially football players or athletes in general, we're tough guys. And, you know, but we have our vulnerable moments when people aren't looking. And I think this is just one of those things that all the things that are going on around him, his play, and all the things that are probably going on in his personal life, I think probably have taken its toll. And to me, it's a very complex situation because you hear so many different things coming out of the locker room. But like Keith said, you're trying to be fair to not only Richie, you try to be fair to Jonathan, and you're just trying to be fair to all the parties involved. It's a tough situation, and I think Coach Philbin is handling the situation in a great way, and you have to take your hat off to these guys. These guys are focused, and the most important thing is going out tomorrow Monday night and beating the Bucks.
Yeah, that's the most important thing for these guys. Obviously, Richie and Jonathan have their own set of priorities now, but your point is well taken. All right, a lot of good questions coming in via text at 347-347. We'll get to those when we come back. From tactical to practical, GovX has the gear you want at the lowest prices. Shop 200 brands and more than 20,000 products for you and your family. Save on gear, tickets, and more. GovX.com, savings for those who serve. Take a two-minute break. When we return, more of your questions. And then John Offerdahl, hot off his induction into the Dolphin Honor Roll the other night, will join us live in studio. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
Back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the show with former Dolphins Troy Drayden and Keith Sims. I'm Jesse Agler, Tristan Jones, chatting with the fans at Dolphins.com. John Offerdahl going to join us in studio coming up next. Getting to the text messages here. Let's start with this one. Immediate gratification. Guy just texted in. Injury report, 3 question marks. You got it, man. Time for the injury report, presented by Doctors Hospital, the official wellness provider of the Miami Dolphins. Jonathan Martin, of course, ruled out for Monday night's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two players did not practice today for the Dolphins. Both linebackers, one a starter. Koa Meese with a knee injury. Jelani Jenkins with a foot injury. Both off to the side. Three players limited in practice for the Dolphins today. Cornerback Dimitri Patterson, tight end Deion Sims, and kicker Caleb Sturgis. The other four Dolphins on the injury report were all full participants. Nolan Carroll coming back from the concussion. Chris Clemens, Danelle Ellerby, and Nate Garner. Of everything I just said, based on Twitter reaction in the last hour or so, Caleb Sturgis is the one that everybody is most wrapped up in.
The kicker?
The kicker.
Because the kicker.
I got a right groin injury. I guess the reason they're concerned is that there's only one kicker, so there's no depth chart at kicker. There's just the kicker. Mm-hmm. That said, I assure you, if they were concerned about Caleb Sturgis' availability on Monday, they would have brought somebody in. Yeah. You know, and if they get concerned about Caleb Sturgis' availability, they'll bring somebody in. So don't let it sweat you at all. For Tampa Bay, three players did not participate. Running back Doug Martin, who, by the way, I still think they're going to put on injured reserve. Also guard Carl Nix, who's got the foot injury, and Chris Owusu, the wide receiver, also with a foot injury. That is the injury report presented by Doctors Hospital, the official wellness provider of the Miami Dolphins. Other text messages that have come in. How about a little O-line talk, Keith? Wants to know, are we going to see either Danny Watkins or Dallas Thomas activated on the game day roster Monday night? You would think that one of those guys, yes, will be. Obviously, no Incognito, no Martin. So Yateman was active for the last game. He won't be. He will be active again this week coming up, and so that still leaves an extra spot if they go with the same game day roster makeup. Those would be the two guys that kind of pop into my mind as the potential ones to be active on Monday night. My guess is this coaching staff hasn't made that determination yet, and they're going to kind of let them battle it out the next couple days.
I definitely think one of those guys will be active. You need it because you need it for field goal block protection. You need it for if a guy gets hurt. We saw Rich Incognito get hurt against the Cincinnati Bengals, and then Nate Gardner had to come off the bench. So you're one short. You don't have that bench. You need a backup guard to be able to step up in there. My personal opinion, without knowing anything, is I would assume it would be Danny Watkins, the veteran, a guy who started in this league, because you need somebody who, if there's an injury, is prepared to come in and play for you. And Dallas Thomas has had a tough training camp. He's a young player, third-round pick out of Tennessee, not quite ready this year. And you don't want to have your rookie who's not ready to play as your sixth man, your interior guy, and coming off the bench. And, you know, I think when you look at Danny Watkins, they've got a lot of questions to think about. Maybe they bring somebody up from the practice squad, because who's the backup center? You know, that's something that Nate Gardner would probably have to slide over and do if something happened to Pouncey. So you've got to have somebody at the guard spot that kind of can slide in there and be ready to go. So my money would be on Nate Gardner being the guy active. Danny Watkins.
You have a lot of guys who are kind of versatile on this team, and you know you're always going to have one or two swing guys on your offensive line, guys that have the versatility that you can fit in any situation. Nate Gardner is one of those guys, but you know you definitely want to get Dallas Thomas some playing time. He's a guy that has a lot of potential.
Is he ready?
I don't know. I'm just saying he may not be ready, but you need to if you're in a crunch, you have to get him in the game, and you have to be able to – he has to be able to get out there and get that game experience. But Watkins is a guy who definitely has the experience, so you're definitely going to have to plug a guy in who has that kind of experience over a rookie guy who's potentially not ready.
And think about – you're talking about what could be – I don't know if it's going to get sold out – could be – I won't use the word which I was going to use. I was going to use hostile, but I'll say electric – environment, Monday Night Football in Tampa on a night where they're honoring Warren Sapp. Could be a lot of electricity in the air. Is a rookie who's never been in that atmosphere ready to handle that versus a guy who's been a former first round pick? That may bode into it, especially with all the stuff circulating around this team this week. I think maybe the veteran would have a better time handling it emotionally and preparing through this kind of muck.
Danny Watkins, he hasn't been around much, but he's definitely been around more than Dallas Thomas. Mm-hmm. He's, appeared in NFL games before. And there's something to what you're saying, I guess. You're going to ask a guy to make his NFL debut in that situation. That might be asking a lot. All right, other texts at 347-347. Somebody wrote in, I've heard some media outlets reporting Richie's suspension as 4 games while others are calling it indefinite. What's the official word? I've never heard 4 games. I've never heard that from anywhere.
Potentially, it said potentially it's 4 games, but they can extend it.
The way they suspended him per collective bargaining rules, it's 4 weeks. Then they've got to make a decision after that.
They had to make a decision after that. But from a practical standpoint, it's indefinite. Yeah. Yeah. They can, you know, bring him back before that or after that. They can extend it even longer. You know, there have been reports that he'll never play here again. Those may have been premature. I don't know. I mean, you know, we keep learning more and more about this situation as time goes on. And it's almost like the more we learn, it seems like the less we know. And, you know, things that seemed certain on Monday don't seem certain today, I would say. There's a lot to figure out with this whole deal. A lot to figure out. Along those same lines with the offensive line, somebody texted in, you think we'll see some, you know, more power football with the extra offensive linemen like we did the other night? You saw Yateman in there. You know, the former tight end has been moved to tackle, and he was kind of checking in as eligible the other night. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
If it works, can continue to do it. And you know, it's a great set that works for this Miami Dolphin football team. So, you know, keep bringing it on because, again, the way to eliminate guys pinning their ears back is to run the football.
And you keep in mind, Tampa Bay comes in with the 13th ranked rush defense. They're only giving up 107 yards. So if that's the way this team was able to run the football, we had our first 100-yard rusher in Lamar Miller against Cincinnati, who had a very good rush defense. Seemed like that helped crack things open and open some holes there. I think you stick with it. The only thing that exposes you to is more injuries. You only have so many linemen out there active that keep usually typically 7 or 8. But it depends on if Deion Sims is ready to go. If Deion Sims is ready to go, then you plug him back in as your blocking tight end.
That makes a lot of sense. Stop at your local Subway restaurant today for a fresh $5 fresh value meal of the day. Choose a different 6-inch sub each day of the week, along with a 21-ounce fountain drink and chips, all for only $5. Subway, eat fresh. We'll take a break. And when we come back, get some more of your questions. John Offerdahl going to swing by the studio as well. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the show. Final segment of this first hour with former Dolphins Keith Sims and Troy Drayden. Very happy to be joined in studio now by John Offerdahl, the great Dolphin linebacker who on Thursday night against Cincinnati was inducted into the Dolphins honor roll. Cam Wake honored him by ending the game with a defensive score. Wild night.
Wasn't that fitting?
On Thursday night. Very, very fitting. First off, congratulations.
Hey, thank you, Jesse.
We talked to you a lot.
Keith, Troy, it was awesome. I mean, it was a miraculous kind of like memory that I'll cherish forever. It was a perfect night, a perfect setting, a perfect game. The two couple minutes before the halftime when I came down, it was stretched into like 15 minutes. They scored 10 points. It was my family was there. My mom, this is funny than heck, my mom sat down, right? Well, she sat down right in the punter kicker lane. And they actually moved their equipment for my mom. It was great. It was great.
Where they were practicing the field goal?
Not Fox. NFL, the NFL Network had that camera. They had camera stopped right for my mom, and they said, we'll shoot it from here. So it was pretty fun. My mom has a way of, like, changing the game.
I guess so. She was all over that. So it's been a big couple of weeks for John Offerdahl. Goes up in the Dolphin Honor Roll Thursday night at the game against Cincinnati. And today's Thursday. That would be 2 days from now. Gridiron Grill-Off at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. Are we all ready to go here?
Yeah, so the build-up's coming. One of the more exciting things that happened last night, I don't know if you guys know this, but Lee Bryce, a country music artist, won the best song of the year.
Oh, really? Okay.
At the CMA last night.
I meant to DVR that. I just slipped my mind.
Yeah, no. So he's performing in the concert, and we also have the Grand Grill-Off, which you guys are involved with. And, you know, so this has been a lot of build-up. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. We got 25 restaurants paired up with 25 of the Dolphin legends. And you know what's fun about this too, Keith, Troy, is that I invite all the Dolphins who aren't participating to just come and enjoy the time too. And I get a lot of people. I got to be careful about that because pretty soon the guys are saying, I'm not going to go and do it. I'm going to get 2 tickets. So I got to watch that a little bit. But it's a lot of fun because it does bring all the alumni back together in an enjoyable atmosphere.
All right. The event is the Gridiron Grill-Off. It is Saturday at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater, all day, all night, different things going on. You go to gridirongrilloff.com for all the information to get your tickets and everything else. $75 a ticket. You got to be 21 and up. It's all you can eat, all you can drink once you get inside of there. You can also go to Walgreens and get the ticket for a little bit less than the $75, which is always a nice treat. And it's all coming up on Saturday.
Yep, and here's a good one, too. For $89, you can get the concert included for
a
combo.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
included.
That's a great one ticket all. Yeah. kind of inclusive.
All right, you go to gridirongrilloff.com for all the information. We're done on TV, so we got to take a break. But we'll continue the conversation with John Offerdahl after this, if you don't mind hanging out.
Sure, I want to talk.
We'll talk more.
Did you bring any food?
About the Gridiron Grilloff.
I already ate it, buddy.
And everything
saving it all for Saturday.
Coming up. We'll see you on Fox Sports Florida tomorrow at 5. We'll continue next on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
You want to be on the inside?
We've got you covered.
It's the Fingsiders. Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims, who made 3 Pro Bowls during his time with the Dolphins. But sadly, fans still don't remember what number he wore.
Matt, uniform number. You got 2 seconds. Keith Sims.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, Keith. I'm sorry. 20?
No.
I am more offended than you are.
Rounding out the crew, it's Troy Drayton. Always ready if the team gives him a call.
I've been preparing myself to be a right tackle.
And he's prepared well.
Man, can't wait to have your head spinning.
Please.
Also, in the comment center, it's Tristan Jones. Ready whenever Jesse goes her way. Or at least attempts to go her way.
Let's go to the Metro PCS comment center. Get in another question or
tongue twister. Question or two with Tristan. Say that 3 times fast.
Tristan.
It's the Fingsiders.
Welcome back to the show, hour number 2 on this Thursday with former Dolphins Troy Drayton and Keith Sims and John Offerdahl. I'm Jesse Agler. Johnny O hanging out a little bit in advance of Saturday's Gridiron Grilloff at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. The Grand Grilloff is my particular favorite part of the event because that's really where most of the food is, and that's what we're interested in. Have you tried every dish that's going to be made available to people yet at this point, or are you waiting for the day itself?
Yeah, actually, I haven't. Usually I do, but this year I didn't, and I'm going to be tasting it along with you.
There
Jesse,
you go.
Right? So master of ceremonies, around. By the way.
Yeah, no, I'll be doing my thing, and I'll be helping out after I stuff my face for a couple of – I got to go to a wedding on Saturday night after this. I'm not going to eat a thing at that wedding. I can tell you right now. I'll be completely full because of the Gridiron Grilloff. So, yeah, everybody can go to gridirongrilloff.com, all the different events, get the different tickets, and hang out on Saturday for a great cause.
Yes, exactly. Let me just share it again.
Please.
Athletes and chefs come together to feed the needs of kids in crisis. We focus on foster care and homelessness. 4 Kids of South Florida is a foster care agency. Hope South Florida is a family homelessness agency. Both of them are doing a great job of connecting faith-based organizations with the needs of this community, and that's what I support. So all the money goes towards that. The athletes and the chefs have great talents, very competitive, all of their efforts and competition for a great cause.
And I got to tell you, I've been involved in the event ever since your inception, and it is my favorite charity event to do. It's, you know, I go to golf tournaments. I host my own golf tournament, and I got to say I have so much fun working with the chef, talking to people, interacting with the crowd. We've always had great, great weather.
Yeah.
And this year I want to bring home the trophy. I have not yet, and I've been talking about it. I've been talking to my chef, and I was at your press conference. And folks, come on out and vote for me. I'm going to start pushing votes already. We have a tremendous dish. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to come and just enjoy it. And I don't know a person that's been to your event, John, that hasn't just been glowing about it. I mean, it's so much fun for us as former athletes to be competitive. Like I said, we get an opportunity to be up close and personal in a very casual, fun, yet competitive environment with our fans where we're eating food, they're enjoying it, having a little wine. You know, the wine loosens up a lot of people. So
in the middle of the day.
We're going to have some fun Saturday. And I just hope I end this Saturday. My goal is to bring home the trophy. I'll be disgraced because I've talked a lot of trash in the last couple of weeks. So.
Well, I know also that the wives actually like to come out to this event and hang out with the husband. So it's an event where you can both come together. And certainly, like you said, it's a relaxed environment. We don't have kids under 21 for the Grand Grilloff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife says, John, you got to change that rule. And I'm saying, no, the kids don't know who we are. We're alumni. We appeal to the, 30, 40, and 50-year-olds.
Can somebody please unseat Sam as a cornhole champion?
He hasn't won in like three years. That's
he won
the
original.
Gracious, great.
Sam
Good.
Madison.
Thank you. I'm tired of hearing him talk about cornhole.
He talks about it like he's won it every single year. He won it one time. He's won it one time. And
well, you would think that he is like the grand master.
You would think that he is the Babe Ruth of cornhole. Listening to him talk.
He's just taking
Jim
what he
Brown.
He's taking his football smack to the cornhole field.
Exactly.
That's what he does.
But the cornhole thing's a lot of fun. That's sort of at the tail end of the Gridiron, the Grand Grilloff, and this year before the concert, which is a great addition for this year's Gridiron Grilloff. And it's awesome because you get the fans are matched up with the players and stuff like that, and it is all-out competition. And like with the cooking, the cornhole, things get very competitive, which I find fascinatingly entertaining, John Offerdahl, because you all, as former professional athletes, anytime there's competition involved, it gets very serious, and I love that.
And you got people like A.J. Dewey, and he's such a, like, he'll watch people's toes as they go over the line. I can't believe the guy. I'm wondering, A.J., how did you play football, man? I mean, if there's a little bit of grass on your knee, you'd be complaining or something like that, but A.J.'s got, like we said, there's a lot of personalities on a football team, and that's what makes the flavor of the NFL and any team environment such a special thing.
Make sure you get to gridirongrilloff.com for information and tickets. You can also purchase your tickets for $10 off at Walgreens, plus the bonus with the concert. You can get everything. It is, as John was kind of alluding to a couple of moments ago, a great date night, you know, date day kind of event, because it's food and wine, and it's just really a lot of fun. And the nice thing is, too, you kind of cap it at a certain number of people that can get in so that the lines aren't crazy long, and you can kind of make your way around pretty comfortably.
Yep, we cap it at 3,000, and that's about as many people as 25 celebrity teams can feed. And at the end of the day, we don't want it to be overly crowded. We want access and entertainment for the fans.
It's awesome. All right. Obviously, the topic du jour is all week long, you know, has been the situation with Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. And the football spin of that conversation has been, how does a team get ready to play a football game, which is a very difficult thing to do under normal circumstances with kinds of distractions and other things going on. What's your approach if you're a player in this Dolphin locker room and you've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road Monday night coming up, and the media is a circus and all those kinds of things? From a player perspective, how would you be handling this?
Well, as a player, you know, it starts, it's a kind of an overused phrase, but farming your own ground. And, oftentimes players would often do things outside of the area of responsibilities. It starts at your own area of responsibility. I think when distractions come along in a team, you have to go back and kind of focus on yourself, your role on the team. And then from a leadership standpoint, you have to have the influence to be able to bring together the internal family of this team and keep it kind of incubated from a lot of these really, you know, tempting and quite honestly salacious distractions. So it's not easy. I mean, every once in a while we'd have this, Keith, and, you know, where you'd have to kind of just come together as a team and say, look, we're being challenged not only on the field, but off the field in certain ways. And players have personalities and they're unique, and sometimes their uniqueness takes them in an area which can distract from a team effort. And that's always a challenge. And so, you know, I look towards this team to see who's going to kind of rise up as a leader and multiple leaders on a team, because every team has a lot of little pockets, and they're looking for leadership in those pockets. So it'll be a test this game. Winning has an amazing way to cure things. But this, like we've talked about, this is beyond the Miami Dolphins, and this is beyond the NFL almost.
Sure, no.
I don't think even a win will hide this or
it'll quiet. It'll at least give us a distraction. And we were talking on the first hour of the show, and I said, you know what? Players probably, the thing they love most is coming to this building and getting on the practice field, because then the questions are gone, the cameras are gone, and they can focus on what we love to do, and that was play football. And it's going to be a tremendous distraction Monday night to go out there. My question, like you said, leadership's got to step up on this team, and they're going to be focused when they come out of the tunnel and start the game. It's how do they respond to adversity during the game? You know, that's when the true leadership to me will step up and say things. You know, Tampa Bay is a dangerous football team. They are 0-8. They played arguably their best game of the year going to Seattle, a game where nobody thought they had any business being in that game, let alone taking it to overtime and almost having an opportunity to win. And nobody wants to lose to a team that hasn't won a football game on a night where they're honoring Warren Sapp. I keep going back to that because we've been in stadiums before where a player comes back and they're honoring that player, and there's a special electricity in the air of whatever team, it seems to juice up that opposing team. And a desperate football team like Tampa is a very dangerous football team.
0-8 is just a recipe for an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a lot to prove as the Miami Dolphins. Sure. We're 4-4. We've played some great games against some of the better competition. And but a setup like this under these circumstances is something that we just don't want to have happen in a negative kind of fashion. So we got to get our game on.
The one thing I think a win does is it brings things back into perspective. I think it brings it back into balance in a sense because, you know, despite the distractions off the field, you know, you still have a job to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have to go out and you have to be focused enough to block out these distractions and go out and focus on your job. And I think that's the tough part for Coach Philbin, but I think it's also a tough part for the guys because, again, you know, once you leave your comfort zone on the field, you still have to come back to reality. And the reality right now is that you're going to have a million camera people, a million, you know, microphones in your face asking you questions about a very delicate situation.
Yeah. Monday Night Football. Yeah. It all is going to come to a pretty big head this Monday.
It is, and everybody, you know, we kind of mentioned this earlier in the week, prepare yourself. If you're a fan and you're sick of hearing all this stuff, get ready because, yeah. I mean, this is going to be it on Monday night. And ESPN, look, they're in the business of trying to get people to watch their game. And it's an 0-8 team at home. That's not going to draw the audience in. So they're going to play this thing up, and they're going to talk about it what will seem like endlessly on Monday Night Football because that's what's going on. John Offerdahl is here. He's got the Gridiron Grill-Off coming up on Saturday. Part of that, of course, is the Cornhole tournament that we were just talking about. We were kind of smack-talking Sam a little bit. He has weighed in on Twitter, of course, yeah. Because Sam is out there listening. He says, it's on, bro. I'm ready. So he's ready to win another title in Cornhole. Has anyone ever won it twice? Because that will be his claim, is that he's the first two-time winner of the Cornhole Championship.
Whoever's out there listening, please, will you please make sure that Sam does not even place?
Wow.
I don't think he made it to the finals last year.
No, he went down in the first round of last year. I had a very close eye, and I believe he went down on the first year. I don't know, though, if it was because AJ had noticed that his foot was on the line or not. He may have.
AJ's going to play it close. He's going to play it so close to the vest. Trust me. That's my guy.
We actually set up the cornhole boards a little farther away than regulation, and I think I got a call from AJ.
He's out there with his tape measure the night
before.
Yeah,
you know,
looks
AJ
a little further than normal. Yeah,
he's weighing the beanbags, you know, to make sure that everything.
We're all out there picking up grass, like we know that we can test and judge the wind on the Cornhole.
Here's how competitive it is. Yeah. Last year, Nat Moore had hurt his arm or shoulder. I forget what it was, and he was in like a sling or something that, and so he played left-handed.
Yeah.
That's how serious this cornhole competition is. That Nat Moore was out there with one wing and still trying to take home the Cornhole Championship. But, yes, Sam went down in the first round last year. I remember that vividly now that we're talking about
it. Can somebody let me know when that happens?
Oh, no, we will. We'll text you.
Hey, Drayden, I'll call you from the stage as we're announcing the Cornhole Championship. Hold on, everybody. I want to get Drayden on the phone, and I'll hold the phone up to the microphone, and you can tell Sam what you're thinking. It's the Gridiron Grill-Off Saturday at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. Wonderful event for some very wonderful causes. John Offerdahl kicking butt in this community. As always, congrats again on the honor roll the other night, and Saturday's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks, Jesse. It is two weekends. I'm going to love it. It's going to be hopefully great weather, and we're going to look forward to seeing the fans and the athletes and the chefs
and the
collide
chefs,
for
and
a cause.
Yep. And exactly. The wine, all of it. GridironGrillOff.com for the information. Spots are going quickly. How'd you like to win a signed football from Brian Hartline and possibly a visit from him at the end of the season? Enter for your chance to win at 4downsforfinance.com. Bank United NA, welcome to Florida's Bank. Thanks again to John Offerdahl. I'll take a break, come back, get to some of your questions. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com. Welcome back to the Finsiders. Thanks to John Offerdahl for swinging by. Really is a great event. Can't say it enough. Hope to see you out there on Saturday night. Bob from Chapel Hill texted in, can you get tickets on site? I believe theoretically you can, but they may not be available. As you heard Johnny O say, they cap the number of people they let in so that, you know, the lines don't get out of control or anything like that. So your best bet is to get them in advance. GridironGrillOff.com, or if you're here in South Florida, you can go to Walgreens, get them for $10 off. Great event. All right, as we're talking, obviously, a lot about Martin and Incognito, Andrew Abramson of the Palm Beach Post tweeted a quote from Mike Wallace a few minutes ago, and this makes me feel better about this situation. This is what I've wanted to hear from players here and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Wallace said, quote, today, I feel bad for both of those guys. It's wrong in that situation to take anyone's side. There you go. That's a nice thing to hear from a guy, Mike Wallace, who obviously doesn't know either one of those guys too well. He's new to this team. He's only been here for, 6 months or whatever, 7 months going back to March and free agency. And that's, one of the things we've continued to say this week is, there's not necessarily a right side. You don't have to jump and be Team Richie or Team Jonathan. That's just not the nature of this situation.
It certainly isn't. And I think maybe as more unfolds and the further we get away from the shock and surprise
of the incident, common sense comes into play. And I think that's what you're starting to hear now from Mike Wallace and maybe some of the other players as they think about it. Until you know the facts, as much as you want to support one or the other, you've got to keep an open mind. You know, I've said it before, and I'm going to continue to say it. And I'm compassionate for Jonathan Martin, and I understand the jokester and prankster and Rich Incognito, and I got to believe over the last couple of years, and I know he's had a past, and unfortunately that past is going to continue to be dredged up, so you question his motives. But the time we spent in this room interviewing Richie over the years, and the time I see him on the side, guy gives me high fives, him and Pouncey on the sideline when we're talking. So I understand what it's like to be an offensive lineman. You know, we do push each other buttons. We do pull pranks on each other. But you got to know when's enough. And there may be a misunderstanding that's blown up, but it could very well be the other way. It could be a guy that saw a weakness in a player and went after that. So I'm going to continue to sit back, understand both sides, and show compassion for both players until I know everything. And then when the truth comes out, when the report comes out, and we know everything that went on, because we don't know everything that went on, whether it be the organizationally, the coaches, or the players' issues, whatever it is, then we can make our decision, and then I think we should take a side.
You know, I think, you know, it's this situation is going to be judged in a lot of different ways, and I think the way that it's going to be judged inside the locker room and the way that it's going to be judged outside the locker room, and I think – you know, people's way of judging it outside the locker room is a lot different than what's going on inside the locker room. And then when you're talking to people and they realize, you know, how Incognito is seen inside the locker room, how Martin is seen inside the locker room, it's quite different than how they see him on the outside. You see one as a victim. You see one as a, you know, the person who they say is bullying. But then you go into the locker room and you see a guy who is, you know, who is a captain, a guy who's a leader, you know, a guy who's, you know, who's going to be the first to stand up for you in a fight. But you also see another guy who has potential and he's very, you know, mild-mannered. So there's a lot of different views. And I think those views are skewed in a lot of different ways. But like you said, Keith, I think the best thing to do is to sit back, wait for everything to come out, look at the report, and then you make your judgment based off of that. But right now, with so many different stories coming out, everybody's digging into Richie's past, everybody's digging into Jonathan's past, and they're judging these people based off of these stories. Let it all come out, then you can make your judgment. But right now, like they said, like, these guys are hurting. You got one guy who's hurting. You got another guy who's hurting. You have a team who's kind of – they're not used to dealing with these type of things right now, and they have a game on Monday. So there's a lot of things that you got to try to bring into focus at one time. But nobody's saying anybody's right or wrong. They're just saying let the truth come out and let the truth be heard.
Absolutely. Part of the thing, of course, is that the truth is going to come out piecemeal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to all come out at once. Now, when the NFL releases their investigation, when that's all done, that will all, a bunch will come out. But in between now and then, and there's no timetable for that, things are going to come out drip, drop. Sometimes it'll be a lot at once. Sometimes it might be a day or two. But right now, we do have another story, and it was just broken a little while ago by Channel 10 here in Miami, WPLG. And it's a story about Richie Incognito and a volunteer at a recent golf tournament. He harassed her, according to this report, which is based on a police report. He poured water on her face, and you can read about it on the local10.com. You can check out the story right there. But, you know, this is part of the deal, is that, you know, more stuff that has happened in the pasts of these guys, and in particular Richie, because I think he's seen, understandably, as the aggressor in this situation. So you're going to start hearing these things, and it's just going to be that court of public opinion thing going. And is that always fair? Of course not, but it is reality. And these kinds of things are going to impact the way this is handled. And Keith, one of the big picture things I think hardcore football fans need to understand is that football culture is being put on trial here, and it's not being put on trial inside of a locker room. It is being put on trial, we've been saying this all week, on Good Morning America, on the Today Show. It's being put on trial by people that don't know anything about the culture of football or the National Football League. And that's going to change the way this story is looked at.
It certainly is. And we talked with Johnny, who was on the show earlier, and, you know, we all said, you know, if this happened in the 90s, it would have never been heard of. Because, first of all, you didn't have Twitter, you didn't have Facebook, you didn't have the instant media access where stories get around the world in 20 minutes. And this thing has gone completely global. And if you've never been in that locker room, and I don't just mean on the high school level, because there's a lot of guys who played high school football and still get it. But as you go up the levels, as you go from high school to college, and college, the lucky few that get on to pro, there is a mentality that has been ingrained in us since the first time we stepped on that football field. You know, there's no I in team. We are a team. You got to self-sacrifice. You've got to understand. And hazing has been part of that in all good fun on every level, whether it's the rookie show we had to do in college and the rookie hazing I got as a freshman in college, or the rookie hazing I got as a rookie here in the NFL. It was part of it, and I am not innocent myself. Once you get through that, O.J. McDuffie was on the show with me yesterday. He said, Keith, you were kind of hard on me as a rookie. Now, I don't remember being that hard on him, and I said, was I mean, O.J.? Because I was concerned. He's like, no. He said, but you were just hard on the rookies, and that's just how it was, and that's just life and culture in the NFL. And I think you needed that, and you need that inside an NFL locker room, because it is a hard life. It is a hard thing to get guys to do what we do for a living. And people on the outside will look at how much money we make and, give me that kind of money, I'll do it. Nah. Yeah, we had a player this week from the Denver Broncos walk away from football, had $1 million on the table. Because You know what? He didn't like it anymore. I've always told people, if your heart's not in it, you cannot do this. It doesn't matter how much money they are offering you. If your heart is not in it, because there is so much that goes into it physically and mentally and emotionally. There's so much sacrifice that has to be made to play this game. And Troy, we know more than anybody what it takes to be in that locker room.
I'm going to say this, Keith. When a guy retires, there's two things he misses about the NFL. One, he misses the paychecks.
That's true.
The second thing he misses is the locker room atmosphere. And to me, that is a guy's sanctuary. It is your playground. And, I hate to say it, but it's a way where guys were kids again. And, when a guy retires, he misses that locker room atmosphere. He misses that ribbing. He misses the pranks that guys used to play. I mean, so it's a tough place to be. But it's also the best place to be in the world. And if you ask any retired player what he misses about the game, I guarantee you 95% of the guys will say, I miss the locker room. I miss my teammates. I miss the practical jokes and all the things that used to happen around the locker room. It is our sanctuary. Besides that football field, that locker room is a place where you can be yourself. You can be anybody you want to be. And it's a group of friends. And it's a group of friends who are hard on each other, but you're hard on each other because you sacrifice together, you bleed together, you go through everything together, your family, friends, everything. That it's still a family. And sometimes you're hard on your family. And sometimes you say things to your family that they don't like and that hurts. But at the end of the day, you're still a family.
It is not a straightforward story by any stretch of the imagination. Now, my caveat to everything you just said, Troy, is that it's not going to be 100% of the guys that feel that way. And Jonathan Martin, it would seem clearly not one of the guys that feels that way. And you have to take that into account with the whole thing. We told you a couple of moments ago, news story kind of emerging about Richie Incognito and some bad behavior, really inappropriate and inexcusable behavior at a recent golf tournament. And we said sometimes it's going to be a little drip of information here about one of these guys. Sometimes it's going to come fast and furious. Almost right on the heels of that, Mike Silver of NFL Network said on Twitter that he just reported on NFL Network that the Incognito camp may release evidence detailing a mutually explosive back-and-forth communication with Martin. And so now maybe something that's going to, show Jonathan Martin saying, disturbing things to Richie Incognito. And I imagine they're going to say the nature of their relationship was that they went back and forth at one another like that. I don't know that that's necessarily going to prove anything, but right now we're in that mode where everybody's just trying to say, hey, look what he did. And the thing just gets messier by the moment. That's honestly it. It just gets messier by the moment. It's unfortunate for everybody involved. I do feel for both Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. It's a bad situation, and you got to figure it's not going to get better anytime soon. For the guys that are on the team right now and are active participants on the Miami Dolphins, they've got a game to focus on. They've got a game to get ready for. But for Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, It's tough stuff right now. Really is. We'll take a break, come back, do some chat's choice, more of your text messages at 347-347, maybe a phone call or two at 1-855-GO-FINS. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Back with Troy Drayden and Keith Sims, Tristan Jones hanging out in the Metro PCS Comment Center. It's time for the chat's choice. Those guys are going to vote on what they want us to discuss next. I feel like the chat's choice has been sort of swallowed up the last couple of days because of everything going on. But we will return to the chat's choice today and let those guys decide what the next topic of conversation is. In the meantime, we'll do a couple of text message questions at 347-347. Somebody texted in, why no speculation about Richie's feelings about Martin taking Long's place? Got to be something there. I disagree completely. I don't think there's anything to that whatsoever. I think if anything, Richie was, you know, happy for Jake Long that, you know, he got a contract that he wanted and then, you know, he was able to kind of go to a situation he was happy about. I don't think there's anything to that whatsoever. You know, I mean, Richie and Jake, you know, they're reported to be close, you know, and friends and everything like that. But I that's not what happened. It wasn't that Jonathan Martin took Jake Long's spot and Richie would therefore be angry. It's that Jake Long, you know, got a better contract offer in St. Louis and went for it.
It happens. I mean, I played with Richmond for 8.5 years. And when things didn't work out here and I moved on to Washington, we kept in touch. I was very happy for him. I can't remember who the left guard that came after me, Mark. I can't remember Mark's last name.
It's Mark Dixon.
Mark Dixon. They bonded very well. Mark was a pretty good player for the Dolphins. So you're blessed to have those kind of relationships when you are able to play next to someone for a long period of time and be friends. But just because a player changes teams, it's not Jonathan Martin's fault. He was a free agent. Kind of, the Dolphins tried to retain him. Richie went on that Twitter account to try to, you know, get fan support to keep him because he enjoyed playing next to Jake Long, but things happen. I mean, Richie's played on different teams. So keep in mind, very few NFL players play on one team their entire career if they're going to have a very long career.
I don't think there's anything to that.
No.
No. That's it. We gave that more time than maybe we should have. That's my fault. No. Chat's choice. What topic would you like to hear the crew discuss? Here's what they've been voting on, gentlemen. The importance of a win on Monday. Yeah. For a lot of reasons. Lamar Miller hitting his stride, question mark. Expectations for the offensive line on Monday. Matchup against the Bucs defense. The Dolphins at midseason. And the state of the AFC East. That's what they're voting on. We've got a tie, 23%, for the importance of a win on Monday. And is Lamar Miller hitting his stride? Here you go. Lamar Miller hitting his stride. Go listen to our interview with him from yesterday on Dolphins.com. Really good stuff there about how he's feeling. And that can kind of take care of that. So, Troy, Keith, let's do the importance of a win on Monday. There's the fact that, A, you like to get going in the right direction, obviously, and build on the win against the Bengals. There's the whole not wanting to lose to an 0-8 team. And then, of course, there is the added everything of what's been going on the last few days. A win, I think, would certainly shut up some of the problems that they've been hearing about this week.
I think a win just gets you back to what you have to do, and that's focus on football. And, you know, to me, I think you can't say a win cures all, but it definitely takes a lot of the attention away from all of the things that are going on off the field. And now people start to concentrate on the things that's going on the field. You know, this Dolphin team is trying to make the playoffs. They're trying to make a wild card, trying to get into the wild card race. And really and truly, that's the focus. The focus for this team is to play these, you know, the last 8 games and to go in and play their hearts out and see where it falls. I mean, you know, they got a tough schedule the last 4 or 5 games, and they're all – I think the last 5 games are all AFC opponents. And it's not going to be an easy road for this team. So I think, you know, playing against Tampa in Tampa, this is a great way to get your focus back on track, and that's to get it back on football and to really narrow your focus and to perfect your craft and to go out and just be kids. I mean, this is what this game is all about. It's all about going out and having fun, but more or less sharing those experiences with your teammates.
What a better place for this Dolphin team to come out and show the nation, show the world that they are united, that they are focused, and that they're starting what in essence is the second half of their season. They got to the first wave 4-4, not where they wanted to be, but they are still in position, if they win enough ball games, get to 9-10 wins, that this could be a playoff year for the Miami Dolphins. And I know that sounds insane right now. They found a way to win a week ago, Thursday night against the Bengals. That kept the season alive and the goals that they have for this for themselves alive. But this is the start of the season, second half. This is where the money – I mean, this is, I hate to say it, but this is a must-win situation for the Miami Dolphins. If they go up to Tampa Monday night and they lose – you've got San Diego, Carolina. You haven't played the Jets. You still got two games against them. You still got the Bills, Patriots coming down here.
You got the Steelers.
You got to go up to the – I mean, the road, it just gets tougher from here. So for those guys in that locker room who are there, talking about the guys who are there, they still have goals they want to accomplish. And that biggest goal in front of them is to make the playoffs. So to me, this is a must-win game for this Dolphin team, this organization, this city. It'll give them a chance to just take a deep breath and breathe. And that's so important right now with all the other stuff swirling around this organization. If they can just put their, you know, put their nose to the grindstone, as they say, put their head down and figure out a way like they did last Thursday night to win a football game, you're going to see some happy guys for the first time in what seems like a year for these guys in that locker room.
Somebody texted in, we don't want to win, we want to beat down. Yeah, I mean, going over there and just knocking them around and you know, having a game that doesn't, wouldn't this be nice, come down to like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, that'd be exactly what the doctor ordered. Obviously, you'll take the win, you know, in any way, shape, or form. We just talked about all the reasons why it's so important for the Dolphins to win this game against the Buccaneers. But if they go over there and just take their aggression out on Mike Glennon and the rest of this team, and the Dolphins can leave Tampa Bay with like a 49-7 kind of win or something like that, that would do so much, I feel like, for the guys in that locker room and for this fan base. It could really be one of those, you know, defining moments, I think.
I think it will be a defining moment for this football team going forward, because now you start to pick up that momentum going into the second half of the football season. And it's not how you start ultimately, it's how you finish. And those teams that are, they start to get hot at the right time, are not the teams that you want to see going into the wild card and even into the playoffs. So this Miami Dolphin team, again, has to narrow its focus. And if you're able to go out and take out your aggression on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you're able to come home with a victory, I think it will bode well not only in the locker room, but it will bode well for the organization and, like you said, Jesse, for the fan base.
It doesn't have to be a blowout win. I would love that. I just want to win.
Yeah.
Just like last Thursday night, just find a way to win. We were on a four-game losing streak. We've kind of – lost all that momentum and great feeling of remember how it was after the post game? We were just elated. We were relieved and elated, and this whole week has sucked all the air and energy out of us. Just let this team walk off that field Monday night with a W in hand, one game over 500. Now you can, maybe that gives them an opportunity to get back to some normal week. It's still going to be surrounding stuff, but at least you get back to football, because the following week it's going to be quick and we're coming back home to play. So I don't want this team coming back home 4-5, losing to the only team that hasn't won a game. Well, one of the only teams that haven't won a game this year.
Dave Rose texted in about the trip, and he goes, hey, is there any advantage that it's a much shorter trip than you know, most of your road trips? It's not necessarily the time in the air that takes it out of you, right, when it's a road trip?
No, it's not the time in the air. I just think it ultimately is, it's about how well you play. I mean, it comes down to one thing, Jesse, when you step out on that football field. It comes down to execution. I mean, and if you're not able to execute, then it doesn't matter if you travel 10 hours or 10 minutes. You have to be able to have a singular focus. You have to go out and be able to execute your game plan to perfection.
Let me tell you, a disadvantage of playing on Monday Night Football, especially with all the stuff swirling around, they're going to hear about it Sunday. They're going to hear about it Sunday night. They've got to wait a long time to get on the field, and they're going to hear people talk about all this other crap all day Monday. You spend a lot of time in that hotel when you're waiting to finally leave to get to the stadium.
Yeah.
So it's a long time.
Yeah, and this is kind of inescapable right now. It's time for these guys to think. You load a few movies onto the iPad, you get some new music on your phone, whatever it is, because it's not just ESPN and NFL Network and Fox Sports 1 that are going to be talking about this. It's going to be CNN and MSNBC and Fox and everything else on your television. So, yeah, I think there's probably something to that. Behold blue skies, calm waters, and pristine beaches. Behold the Bahamas. Visit Bahamas.com for deals and packages today. We'll take a break when we come back, check in with Tristan, get to some of the fan questions from the live chat. Also, of course, more of your text messages at 347-347. Maybe a phone call or two at 1-855-GO-FINS. You're listening to the Finnsiders on 940 WINS and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to the Finnsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the show. Monday Night Football coming up for the Dolphins. They'll travel to the left side of the state to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It opens up the Sunday a little bit. It changes things around with this Monday Night Football game. And who knows, maybe it gives you an opportunity to get a really early start on your football weekend. And how about that? Tomorrow you get the opportunity to go out to Dolphin Mall from 6 to 9 p.m. to take part in the Football Fiesta. And to talk to us a little bit more about that, the voice, the Spanish language voice of the Miami Dolphins, Raul Stryker Jr., is with us in studio coming up. A neat event tomorrow night. I want to give us a little bit of an understanding of what's going to be taking place.
For sure. Thanks, Jesse. Football Fiesta, great way to start the weekend off tomorrow night. I think it's a long weekend as well, if I'm not mistaken. And first time we're going to have player participation at our Football Fiestas. We have them throughout the month. Twice a month we try to do it at Dolphin Mall throughout the football season. And it's a great way to have fun with the team and win a lot of prizes. You can actually win tickets to go see the Dolphins play at home at Sun Life Stadium. And it's basically a fun night. It's kind of like a pep rally slash fun time to watch fans kind of like have fun, but at the same time, and I hate to use this word, but kind of like act a fool a little bit on stage, because we actually throw out some uniforms. They get to get dressed in complete uniforms, shoulder pads, thigh pads, knee pads. Some fans don't even have an idea how these thigh pads go inside the little sleeves inside the pants. And at the end, they also answer some trivia questions. And finally, they have to do their own touchdown celebration.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Where it gets interesting.
Oh, boy. So you get the fans up there in full uniform trying to do a touchdown celebration. That could be interesting. It's a Football Fiesta tomorrow night, Dolphin Mall, 6 to 9 p.m. And with the Monday Night Football, obviously, the Dolphins team schedule is mixed up a little bit, different than normal. And so some active current Dolphin players are going to be able to come out for a little bit as well. That's a pretty nice deal to this whole thing.
For sure, yeah, and thanks a lot of thanks to Coach Philbin for allowing this to occur, and some of the players, I'm not sure 100%, but I'm pretty sure I heard Olivier Vernon's going to be out there, so fans can go out from 6 to 7 specifically if they want to get their autographs, take pictures, participate with the players, and we invite them to stay. It's a fun area. There's a lot of entertainment in the area, and at the same time, they get an opportunity by answering questions or by participating in this contest at the end where they might be able to get some tickets.
Football Fiesta tomorrow night at Dolphin Mall. We're talking to Raul Stryker Jr. As you just heard, Dolphin players, active Dolphin players, going to be out there from 6 to 7. The whole event goes 6 to 9. You'll have former players out there. You'll have the Dolphins cheerleaders are going to be out there. I imagine TD, the mascot, is going to be out there. So it's just, like you said, it's kind of a mix of a pep rally, a party, and a little bit of a game show, because you get to put some people on the spot, which is always fun.
And it's good for all ages. The parents can take their kids. They can participate with the QB toss, with the long snapping. One of the parts of the event during the night is that the alumni that's there is going to go out and possibly participate with the kids, show them how to snap the ball, show them how to throw the ball, maybe even kick it through the field goal interactive game. So it's a lot of fun. And then the parents can participate, obviously, and try to win their way into some games.
Really cool. Infotainment. You'll get informed and you'll have a good time. It's the Football Fiesta tomorrow night, 6 to 9 p.m. from Dolphin Mall. Current players, former players, all kinds of games. You get to throw the ball around. The cheerleaders will be out there. TD will be out there. Sounds like a great time. Again, it's the Football Fiesta, all free, Raul Stryker Jr. Maybe that's the most important thing to point out. This is completely free. You just show up to the mall tomorrow night, and you get to have a good time.
There's an old saying, where there's free, there's me. So you're all invited. Come on down.
Awesome. Football Fiesta tomorrow night, Dolphin Mall. Raul, appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
Good stuff. Raul Stryker Jr. setting us up for what's a nice event tomorrow night. Hope a bunch of you guys are going to be able to get out there to Dolphin Mall. Just a few minutes to go on today's show. Let's hop over to the Metro PCS Comment Center. Tristan has been chatting away with everybody over there.
Oh, I sure have. They're accusing me of making up questions sometimes, Jesse.
Do you?
Yes. I do, but some of them have taken great offense to it. And I said, well, if there were good questions to ask, I would ask them.
So you're
the moral
it
to
on
the story
them.
Is yeah. I'm just gonna ask their questions from now on.
Oh,
so
no.
Here
no,
we go.
No. Careful now.
No, all right. We have some decent questions. Dolphin says more Will we see more playing time and touches for Agnew this week? Looks like he's been earning it. Do you think he can become a key piece?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to get too far out in front of it and start talking about key piece and how much playing time we expect. And part of that, of course, is contingent upon Deion Sims, who's fighting a toe injury, and whether or not he's in the game. But Troy, this is a guy that at this time last year, we didn't know if we were ever going to see on the field in a regular season game. And he has been a part of the success that the Dolphins have had offensively the last couple games.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where when you look at the impact of players, you know, he's one of those guys who has really impacted this football game, and you know, a talented player, and you can see why, you know, the Miami Dolphins have picked him up in the draft, and it's a journey, especially for any rookie coming into the NFL, and I know it's a tough transition, but once you start to make that transition, once you learn how to be a professional, I think things really start to come a lot easier. And then once you start to learn different things, then you allow your athletic ability to take over.
Then you can really flourish. All right, time for our final thoughts.
The fastest 2 minutes in the show.
A little short on time, so we're going to cut Keith out. Go right to
the just wanted to say, you know, it's going to be a great event to go to John Offerdahl's event. I mean, just go out and support the guys. I mean, it's a great cause. You get a chance to have some great food, but not only that, you get a chance to meet a lot of great Miami Dolphin legends. And you know, there's going to be a lot of trash talking, and you know, it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of food. And I think when you come after the week the Miami Dolphins have, I think we need that right now.
Yeah, I would say that is very well put. Big Friday show for you tomorrow. We'll get you all ready for Monday Night Football between the Dolphins and the Bucks. Have a great night, everybody. We'll do it tomorrow at 5 right here on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.